Welcome to PodRocket, a web development podcast brought to you by LogRocket. LogRocket helps software teams improve user experience with session replay, error tracking, and product analytics. You can try it free at logrocket.com. I'm Noel, and today we're welcoming back Matteo Cappelletto. He's a Vite core team member. He's here to talk about Vite, the past, the present, and future. You may know him as Patak. Welcome back to the show, Patak. How's it going?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for inviting me back here. Like always, a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk. It is always a joy. This talk covers the past, the present, the future, just like the journey that Vite took. Can you guide us through the beginnings maybe of Vite and contextualize a little bit for us?
Yeah, it's already 4 years almost. It's going to be in April, I think, because at the beginning, let's say 4 years ago, Webpack was the king of build tools. Mm-hmm. And then you had Rollup that was also like used a lot in libraries. And there were some projects like SWC and ESBuild that were like using native like Rust or Go. They were starting to show like a lot of promise. And at that point, around like April 2020, Evan that had the idea of getting to work into a dev server for Vue at that point in particular. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to use modern technologies like ESM modules to make a very fast dev server that has good HMR because it uses directly the AS module. And using the technology that, for example, ESBuild enabled to on the fly process a TypeScript file into removing the types into JS like extremely fast. So these were things that before were not possible. Around the same time, Evan, that day that he actually started hacking, stay up all night, and the day afterwards released the first open source version that at that point was like Vite born. And during all the initial year, it was like this Vite 1 period, where like he was working towards the first stable release. And there were other players, like they were like heavily interacting between each other and influencing like a Snowpack and the web server and then like WMR from the Preact Fox. And all these projects, like it was like a very interesting period of trying new things and influencing each other. And it was a great collaboration already at that stage. And when Vite 1 was about to be released in December of that year, Evan said, okay, we need to stop the ball here. Like, this is not going to be the architecture that is going to take us to the future. We're going to review and revise the version. Vite 1 that was at that point in RC already, and there was a little ecosystem already forming. At that point, Evan said, okay, there will not be Vite 1 at all. And he started a sprint of 3 months to create Vite 2, taking the best ideas, for example, right, from WMR. He took a universal Rollup plugin API that worked, you write plugins, and they work both in dev and build. And he also took the opportunity, Vite 1 was a little bit Vue-centric still. You could use like React, but there were a lot of checks that where Vue was intermingled. So he really took the time and said, okay, everything Vue-related will be its own plugin. Everything React-related will be its own plugin, and it make it really framework agnostic. So Vite Core had nothing related to Vue at that point. And at that point is when I got involved, like I started any open source project, like sending PRs, like documentation, or at that point, I was checking the compatibility with Rollup official plugins. So like I tried them out with Vite 2, and there was a lot of them that failed. And I reported the issue, and Evan was at that point like closing issues like crazy. So like normally I reported and I got like a beep, like 15 minutes later, it was like a commit that fixed it. Okay, this is interesting. And also we started the Discord at that point, and there was like bigger ecosystem appearing, like Vite Ruby, for example, is from that point. I think that like Maximo was in PodRocket at one point. And when Evan finishes Vite 2, that is when the project really started to took off. Yeah. And Svelkit, for example, that was using Snowpack, decided to switch to Vite. The Snowpack team started to work on Astro. And they, at one point, decided that it was better to join forces with us. So they moved Astro from Snowpack to Vite. And then starting to help us. They had so much experience. So like they started to help us a lot. WEMR was like a few years later, but now also they recommend Vite, and they also have in the past. Like, it was like one project after the other. In Discord, it was so many people. Every day there was a new plugin. Someone was building an integration for some other projects. It was a really interesting time. And that ended up in V3. It was the first major. For a time, even after the release of V2, he had spent so much time on Vite, and he has another project that is quite important. That's called Vue. Yeah. So he needed to focus a bit on that too. At that point, he created the Vite team. He gave us like access and like really trusted us to start doing the day-to-day maintenance. And we started to have bi-weekly team meetings to talk with him, to guide the project. And we're starting to grow the team. And yeah, like V3 was the first major release that it was guided by this new team. From then on, we have kept working. Now, like V5 was released in December, and we are working on V6 probably in October or something like that. And in the middle of that, a lot of things happened. But at one point after V3, I got contacted by Eric Simmons, that is the CEO of Stacklytz. Mm. And for them, Vite was in the critical path for their product because they developed this IDE using Web Container that allows you to run a node in the browser. Mm-hmm. And they had like a very fast IDE working in the browser in no time. And then Webpack was installing and then starting. And it was not the experience they were looking for.
Yeah.
And when they saw everybody starting to adopt Vite, and Vite actually playing so well with that experience that you just like start a project and the Vite server is right away there and you see the app. So this was really important for them. So they hired me and I started working full time on Vite. And then we got lucky for what it is open source, because Vite luckily had enough resources, because Jorn, for example, that is another team member, joined Astro to work on Astro and Vite.
Gotcha.
And then Anthony Fu, I think you talk also with him like
a couple times. Yeah.
The creator of basically half of GitHub right now. So he is working for NaxLab too. So we are lucky that we count with some team members that have full-time or like half-time capacity, and then a lot of team members and contributors that like do this in their free time, but they are really like fundamental for the project. So yeah, with time, it is almost like every framework and tool is starting to offer first class support for Vite or Vite by default. Mm-hmm. And we reached this point with around 11 million NPM weekly downloads. That is just like crazy to see the curve, and it's like an exponential. And at this point, we are at about 40% of the weekly downloads of Webpack, just to mm-hmm. give an idea of how much Vite has grown in these years.
What do you think the biggest contributing factors were that made Vite kind of latch on and have adoption so quickly? Because I feel like numbers like that across just the gambit of the dev space, like it's almost unheard of to replace such a fundamental tool. Replace is a strong word, but take a lot of market share from such a fundamental tool so quickly. Why do you think that was primed to happen and Vite was able to do so?
I think that Vite was at the right time and was the right idea. And to be honest, Evan built a very good base from where like we all kept working on, and each framework that joined it ended up like maybe one of their team members joining our team. And now we are 10 team members. And I think that it may have been possible that we will be talking about Snowpack at this point. Any of these projects at that point will have work. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was let's choose one. And once the tipping point, like Svelkit choose this one and Snowpack, like Astro move it to Vite, it was clear who was the one leading. And then we all just say, okay, let's work on this common base. This is what we need right now. And for me, the ecosystem was the key for this grow, because new projects started to join, not only because Vite worked well for them, but to also take advantage of all the plugin ecosystem, all the features that were already built in, the idea of sharing the load between different frameworks. And yeah, like the main point was the ecosystem. And that was helped a lot by the Evan decision of using Rollup during build and adopting this Rollup plugin API that it make it so easy to work with, you know, compared to other kind of plugin APIs that were around. So like this really resonated with a lot of people. And talking about like the kind of project that has this trajectory, I think it is quite unique, but there is another project that has almost the exact same curve at the exact same point right now, that is PMPM. You put the two curves and it's exactly both of them the same.
Good.
But I think that also influences each other because like tons of people in the Vite ecosystem are adopting PMPM.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting. I will say that each new project that joined it collaborated a lot to that numbers because Angular, for example, like is using Vite in their CLI. Angular numbers are ridiculous, you know? Like, so like each of them collaborated a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. I wasn't familiar that the curve on like PNPM lined up so well. I maybe find that a little bit less incredible than the Vite journey just because PNPM feels like it's easier to go in and use one-off and introduce slowly, where it feels like the Vite switch for a lot of projects. It's much more kind of fundamental to how like this project structures are set up initially for build tools and stuff.
Yeah.
So still, I find it very incredible. So what are the big changes that are going on right now in 5.1 and then like version 6? What are the moving pieces still?
Yeah, like in Vite 5, we released like Rollup 4. That was the first version that Rollup started to incrementally move towards native tooling, also to speed up. Because this was one of the pain points, that Vite Dev Server was very fast, but we still had slow builds because we choose maturity and flexibility of Rollup over some other tool.
Yeah.
But Lucas, that is a maintainer of Rollup, he was like extremely aware of this and he wanted to remain like being the choice for Vite. And so he has been working in incremental improving. He moved like the AST parsing to SWC. That is a native in Rust, and that gave us a boost in performance. There were other features, for example, like we started to use define. It's a feature that lets you define certain strings in your code and you can replace them by something else.
Yeah.
And normally we were using regex and it was a constant source of bugs. We didn't want to do a full like AST parse because it was slow. But the regex were killing us and we were starting to have these monstrosities.
Right.
Jorn, one of the team members, actually made a switch to have define work with ESBuild. That ESBuild has the define feature. So that was a big improvement. And then there was like in both 5 and 5.1, there was a lot of work on server performance. We started to see this being adopted not only by small applications, but also enterprise. And now we start to hear people that say, hey, the Vite Dev Server is slow because I'm trying to load 10,000 modules.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, like, why are you trying to load 10,000 modules at once in the Dev Server? I don't know. Can you do a monorepo and maybe partition some of your stuff and the design system if you're not going to modify it? Add it as a dependency. So like we can pre-bundle it and then we don't import the 1,000 files of the design system separately each time you start. But it is hard to say that sometime in enterprise because like things move in a different pace and these huge code bases sometimes cannot be refactored that easy. We started to focus a lot on performance of the Dev Server or the bundleless Dev Server. And in 4.3 already we got very good. For example, resolving IDs was quite slow at that point and we got like a very big performance boost. And in 5.1, we got a very similar boost. If you see the progression, for example, in all the miners, loading of 10,000 modules took around 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
This is like measured with Puppeteer. So like actually, if you load it with Chrome, it will be like half. But let's say that for comparison, it was like 8 seconds in 4.0. It got in 4.3 to around 6.2. And then in 5.1, we already got it to around 5.3.
Hmm.
So like from 8 to 5.3 already, like it is a lot because if you consider the difference between, for example, let's talk about an app that is like more normal size but let's say around 2,000 modules or 1,000 modules. Mm-hmm. So the difference between having something load in 600 milliseconds or 1.2 seconds, it is a lot. Because with 1.2 seconds, you see the white flash. Mm-hmm. If you are around 500 milliseconds, you don't see even a flicker. Mm-hmm. So there is like DX experience there that even for normal size up, it starts to be important that we keep the BitDev server snappy as possible. And what we are seeing is that the bandless approach works even at that scale. Obviously, you should take care because there's a lot of things that you can do to help. For some examples, every time that you import a file without an extension, basically the Vite or Node or whoever is resolving that file will need to say, hey, file system, is there a file that is .mca? No. Is there a file that is .cjs? No. Yeah. Is there like ts? No. There is a JSON file? No. There is, and it has to ask 10 times. Mm-hmm. And there is like all these weird rules about, okay, if you import it as JSX, but actually it's TSX, you can import it. You should remove the extension, add another. It is so weird. So if you can directly import it with extension, I know it doesn't look as cool, but like you are going to do such a favor to the tooling. And the same for barrel files, for example. This is a problem that all the bundlers have right now that it's very common. Imagine you have a folder that's called utils and you have 10 different files and one is like a slash and one is like file system utils and different ones. And then it is very common to say, okay, I have an index.js. I re-export every of the file that are there directly to the as util. So anywhere in the code, I will say import a slash from util only.
Right.
And then the bundler will go to that file that is called a barrel file that only has re-exported things and will go and will find it. But that is very bad for a server like Vite because it means that when we load a barrel file, we don't do tree shaking in depth. Mm-hmm. This means that all the files of utils, even if you don't use them, are going to be loaded. So if instead of using a barrel file, you say import slash from util slash, you are going to save like a ton of module processing. So these kind of things like also helps a lot. Again, like it's about kind of education. Sometimes it's something like it's not even easy to, I don't know, think about because we are not used to. Because if you think 10,000 modules and you think about Chrome extensions, for example, that every time that you do a request, a Chrome extension could get in the middle to check something. When you are talking about 10,000 modules, that could like really affect. And I tested with, for example, Tamper Monkey, and I think it was uBlock, like two extensions.
Yeah.
And loading these, I think, like 1K modules, I got something like 4 seconds of loading time. And if instead of that, I go to an incognito window without extension, I got 2 seconds. So like you get already half just by using an incognito window. And this is something that you could tell in an enterprise setup. You could tell your devs, hey, when you are developing, you should use an incognito window, and then your experience will be a lot better.
Back on this point of like optimizations that developers can make to just make their projects more friendly, especially like in their dev environments, how do you guys think about communicating these things? Because I imagine a lot of devs don't even think about, oh, like I'll export everything into a file, then I'll import via that file in the future, or like I'm not going to use file extensions because it looks cooler. Is there like tooling that can help devs stay on the right path here or something you'd recommend they think about or look at?
Yeah, I think that using active warnings that Vite could do or even the browser could help with is very interesting. There is another case that is interesting here that is if you disable caching, for example, like you have the DevTools open and you disable caching, and it is very normal that developers will say, I always develop with disabled caching.
I'm sure my cache is turned off on all of my browsers right now.
Yeah. But like this was, I think, really needed when our tooling was quite riddly and it didn't work well. And we got like a scare of cache at that point. But in the VDEP server, dependencies are hard cache with a hash. So every time that you load a dependency, it will be a 200 cache.
Yeah.
And when you load a file, if it hasn't been modified, this will be a 304. This is already like a lot faster.
Yep.
So if you stop, disable the cache, like just leave it without that,
yeah,
Vite is also going to be like a lot faster. Let's say maybe 20, 30% faster. And this is hard to communicate because that is also going against what we do a lot of the time.
Right.
But for example, the people from the Chrome DevTools, they started in the latest version to show when you have disabled cache, in the network tab, that is going to be this triangle with exclamation mark that is going to be there, like a yellow triangle.
Yeah.
And so you see that there is something going on. Actually, people were like mad at them because, hey, I don't want to see that triangle, you know, but
yeah.
Like we actually like that because this will make a lot of people think about that. And then it's documentation or advocacy. Like we have a performance guide in the Vite that talks about a lot of the things that we are talking right now and how we can at least like show that to anyone that came to us saying, hey, my Vite app doesn't work like fast enough. And when we start digging, a lot of the time it is that, yes, they have or 10,000 modules and they didn't dynamically load anything or things like we have the tools right now. For example, if you are in a React application, if you are using plugin React, there is a version that's called plugin React SWC,
mm-hmm.
and this is using like SWC native.
Good.
And just switching from, it's a single line of code you change, and switching to that get more than twice the speed. And then there's a lot of things like this. And this is nothing new, like all tools have these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
What I think Vite gives you is that for applications that are modern build, like with proper code splitting and that are sized, like already you start building them as a monorepo with thinking about like splitting in dependencies.
Yeah.
So you can pre-bundle some, like Vite scales incredibly well. It doesn't matter the size. For the rest, there is also options in the future, like maybe we can talk a little bit about roll down, for example, because that will enable a lot of things too.
I guess this is as good a time as any. What is roll down? How does roll down help this process?
So this is a parallel thing to all the things that we have been doing in Vite is that Evan, you like two projects like Vue and Vite wasn't enough. So he's now leading Rolldown. In the last VITECOM, he announced it. There is a independent team that some of them were Vite contributors. Some of them were like AirSpack also contributors. Like they have tons of experience. And the idea is to build a rollup. We said that it was like incrementally adopting some native parts. There are like two ways to actually speed up a project. Or you incrementally build towards that, or you say, I'm going to write it in native directly. And the rewriting part is like a little bit more like riskier. But in the case of rollup, there is a lot of tests already. This team has a lot of experience. And Lucas even like at one point could get involved like consulting for trying to help them. He already say in VITECONF, actually, if the Rolldown team managed to get rollup compatibility at the speed of ES build, that is what they are trying to do,
mm-hmm.
then I don't have any problem calling that rollup 6, let's say, and working with you. Because this is the idea, like to make rollup version that works at the speed of ES build. And we need that in Vite. Because in Vite we use rollup and ES build, both for their own strengths. Rollup during build, maturity, flexibility, ES build, wherever we need like very fast processing.
Yeah.
But each of them are like big tools with their own kind of bugs and differences. And it will be amazing if we could say we are going to use Rolldown for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have one tool. And so like it could simplify a lot of things internally. Speed up build time. We can also later on consider migrating some plugins that we have in dev to native and then speed up even more the dev server. This Rolldown is going to be based on OXC, that is an alternative to SWC, like a JavaScript parser and tooling. And it's also writing in Rust. And OXC, like, it looks like a very, very good base. So it is very interesting that OXC is also going to power AirSpac. So there will be collaboration there. And yeah, like at one point, we could move, for example, this plugin React SWC, we could move it to plugin React OXC, let's say. And then we don't have, like we have right now, that we have Rollup, SWC, and we have ESBuild. But at one point in the future, everything will be consolidated to OXC at the lowest level, then roll down as a bundler, and then Bit as the high-level tool, and on top of that, all the frameworks. And if the roll-down team managed to get this in a, let's say like 100% compatibility will be tough, because there will be some decisions that I will need to review. But let's say mostly compatible, and then in Vid we'll polish some of that when we integrate it. This should be mainly transparent for all the ecosystem built on top of it. So there is a very big potential to speed up everybody.
Yeah.
This will take time. Like we are not talking about in October, we are going to be using Rolldown. Maybe in Vid 6, we could have opt-in for certain things, but like really replacing both Rollup and ESBuild, this is like a, this is a long bet, but it looks extremely, extremely interesting. And the project was open sourced, I think like 2 weeks ago, and there was like a lot of movement already. If you're listening to this and you're interested in build tools and Rust, go to the Rolldown Discord, because it's going to be very interesting.
If we can get to that future where we're using a Rust-based lower-level language to do that, like what kind of performance impact would you expect to see?
The version that they have right now is working faster than ESBuild, like the proof of concept they have.
Cool.
They still need to add some features. For example, like since source map, they were still not generated in this measurement. So there isn't yet like formal benchmark.
Right, right.
But I think we are in the ballpark of ESBuild kind of speed. So very fast.
Super quick. Blink of an eye. In general, is there a place that the community can go look and jump in and see how this stuff is evolving over time, especially like when we're talking those projects with 1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000 modules? Like, how do you guys kind of evaluate that and think about that and communicate with the community?
We were approached by some people from the Webpack team at one point to build something together, but like that didn't happen at the end. Indeed, we are using several benchmarks. One of them, for example, I was working with the one that TurboPack released, like the one that when they started, it's like a triangle that was like with 1,000 triangles, like a fractal.
Yeah.
And that was like an interesting benchmark because it loads like 1,000 React components. And it was interesting to see how it evolved with that. But I don't know of a place right now that is really comparing. I think that benchmark was used in some, there was like a performance compare repo that it was measuring all. The problem with this kind of metric also is it's kind of artificial, because later on when you put the real world, you have a lot more variety and you have preprocessors and you have tons of things that end up affecting. Like, it's interesting that we can load modules that quickly, but once, for example, you put a preprocessor in the like, that is start to be the bottleneck and not the loading. This is one of the things that is new in 5.1 that Safi Red, that is another one of the team members, he managed to allow you to run preprocessors in a thread. And in a Beautify project, for example, he was seeing 40% speed up, just putting that processing not in the main thread. So this is the thing also, like it's the same that we talk about plugin React SWC. Like a lot of the time, the project isn't fast, not because the number of modules, but because there is a plugin that is actually parsing all the files with Babel to replace a single thing. And there are tools, there is a really interesting tool that's called Vid Plugin Inspect that is from Anthony Fu, that you install that and it gives you a URL that is inspect, it's called. When you start a server, you have the URL there to click. And it gives you like a view of how it is a transform stack of all your plugins, what they are doing. And it also gives you timing for each of them.
Cool.
So like you can see with this tool, like visually inspect and check what is causing issues. We also have like, you can say like a profile in the CLI and then press P enter, and then you get a CPU profile that you can analyze how the server is working.
Cool.
Like there are different things that you can do.
Yeah, very cool. I guess I'm kind of curious. We've mentioned throughout our conversation, deintegrating from Vue originally, like being super tightly coupled. Then like, you know, now there's better ways to like use different dependencies for like your React project or something to make things optimal. How do you guys collaborate with these framework maintainers? Or is it just like fan members in the community that are doing work to bridge this gap?
No, we work a lot with the maintainers because Vite, like the main users are the frameworks. Like most users will experience Vite through a framework, not directly through Vite. They will actually use SvelteKit or Astro or Nux or Remix now or Angular. So when Evan was working on Vite, he was also working on VitePress. That is this Vue and Vite static size generator that we all use for documentation. And
it's
all
great. I've used it a couple of times.
Yeah. The default theme is so good that we all look professional. Just you say like install VitePress, and then I made a library. This looks awesome.
Yeah.
So when he was working on that, he was working at the same time, like dog fooding, and he was changing Vite. So it is good to build VitePress. And this really shows later on, like framework authors will came and say, it looks like this was built for me. Like they feel it. And every framework that joined also pushed Vite in that direction because they were asking for features and modifying things. And that keeps going on. Like we have a very tight feedback loop with a lot of the main maintainers of the frameworks. As I say, some of them are even Vite team members.
Yeah.
But a lot of them just, they contribute really good PRs, really good ideas. We ask for feedback. There is now, for example, one of the main features that is coming. There was this project that's called Vite Node that Puya and Anthony Fu, they started this idea. And this is a way to use Vite to process files, like using the Vite plugin system, but to run them not in Node, like next to the Vite server, but anywhere you want. For example, in a worker thread or like in WorkerD or like somewhere else. Also enabling in the same way, or you can also run it in Node, but there is this concept of kind of a client that is communicating if you build a browser, but to run the code. So they have very good HMR also, not for the browser, but for this run code. And they build this because they need it for the Nux 3 dev server to have HMR during dev.
For those like the build steps.
For the SSR of like for the...
When the server is building the pages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like the idea was that during dev, they wanted to modify code from the server and it should actually hot model reload in the same way that the code was in the client reloading. And so they build this like tool Vite Node, and then this was the base, the engine of Vitest.
Ah, nice.
So Vite Node for the past years, live actually, it was a package in the monorepo of Vitest because it was so much use and so coupled with it. And it was also used by Nux, but it was used there. And we started working 1 year ago. Vladimir, that is like the one of the main team members of Vitest, he actually joined the Vite team and started working on integrating Vite Node directly into Vite. We call it that Vite runtime, like we rename it things to make it more agnostic. And we released that in 5.1 as experimental because like we needed feedback and we got that feedback. The Cloudflare team, for example, Remix team, like there is a lot of people that really wants this to happen because one of the ideas, for example, work Cloudflare team wants for frameworks to be able to say, okay, I want SSR to be done in Node, that is the default, or just changing a config, I want now to be in WorkerD. And like the dev server should run inside Miniflare locally in Worker, like there is a this emulator like on WorkerD. And so you have the same experience in build and in dev. And also that should work with HMR. Like it's like really interesting.
Yeah.
And right now Vite didn't have that tools, the flexibility. People were starting to use tools like Vite Node to do that and hack their way, like adding middlewares and doing a lot of hacks. But it was really difficult because each framework was doing their own thing. And Here, there is another opportunity where Vite could provide some higher level API for everybody to use. So we got feedback from Vite Runtime API, and now we are working together with Vladimir and other people in the team. And we're in a revision. It's going to be called the Environment API. And this is looking quite interesting. Like, we are targeting Vite 6 for being stable, probably in Vite 5.3. We are going to release another experimental version and get more feedback. But this could be like one of the biggest changes in Vite regarding flexibility in, yeah, like from Vite 2. This should be like one of the main features. Yeah, we're looking forward because that could enable a lot of really cool integrations.
It feels like that's almost like an API surface or like a layer that has never really been exposed in that way before with one of these tools. Is there a way that you guys think about the correct abstractions to make it like when you, you know, when you're exposing just like the runtime API in general and making that more pluggable? Is it tricky to figure out where to draw those lines and how other tools in the future might want to integrate?
Yeah, it's really tricky because like making any new API, you are taking like a lot of responsibility to actually support it over time. Mm-hmm. And so you want to have it be the right abstraction, and it should be flexible, but at the same time, if it's not out of the box, working with right defaults, you end up like with a config mess. This is what Vite got right in the beginning. Like, it was getting us out of these massive configs where you have Vite was the right abstraction for all the common patterns that we have. And what we are seeing with this environment API is that there are a lot of common patterns, again, but that, as you said, there is no common tool. Mm-hmm. There are starting to be some ideas, but we think this is something that we still need to actually, where we draw the line, this is something that internally in the Vite team we need to discuss because it's always evolving. For a long time, for example, we always said that Vite build should only build a single part of your app. So if you call Vite build, it will be the client. If you call Vite build SSR, then it will be the SSR one.
I see. Yeah.
And it's like a single rollup run. This is what Vite build does. And framework have been asking us for a long time, please make Vite build the whole app. This means if there is SSR, I need you to build the client. When that finish, I need you to build the SSR. And we always say no, because we didn't have the proper abstractions for that in place. And we felt that we were starting to get into the like gulp business.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so we say, look, you can wrap the CLI of Vite and do whatever you want. Like, you run programmatically all the running in parallel, run one before the other. You can choose what to do.
Yeah.
But a lot of projects have decided that they want Vite as a CLI. They want, because this is what all their users know, and it is easier for them to just point to our documentation. All the Vite plugins already work more integrated. They use our Vite config. So SvelteKit does this. Remix does the same. Solid Start does the same.
Yeah.
All these projects, like Vike, for example, all these projects are framework as a plugin. You add a plugin and that's it. There are other projects that this was our, the way that we said to framework how they should be building, that is Nuxt, Astro, they wrap, or Angular, they wrap Vite in their own CLI. You don't call Vite when you use Nuxt. You call Nuxt.
Nuxt, yep.
And the same for Astro. They have their own CLI. Houston will appear there and say hello to you. So they can decide to do something different. Mm-hmm. But it seems that a lot of people are getting value in this consolidation of Vite as the base tooling and also as the base CLI. So they were even hacking that in the last plugin hook of a Vite build, they will actually firing up another Vite build.
Yeah, calling around.
So like they say, okay, like you don't do it, we will do this hack. This is how SvelteKit works. This is how Solid Start works. Everybody copy from each other.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that we need to discuss with the team, but with environment API, an environment represents the browser environment, like the client, the SSR environment that you can run in Node or in Worker, a different environment that runs anywhere else. So the idea will be that you can have like a BitDev server with as many environments as you want. Right now, there is too hard-coded.
Yeah.
We are opening that possibility. And in that way, we may have the opportunity to say, okay, let's provide a Vit build all like flag that actually is going to say, okay, for all the configured environments, I will call Vit build. And then maybe give some way to configure like this task in a way that is not making like a full configuration mm-hmm. thing. Like maybe just look, like I generate, these are the four tags that you need to run with the name of each environment. Mm-hmm. Like I give that to you in an array to a function. You do whatever you want. You can promise all them. You can await one, decide the order. You just give me the function and that's it. Like this could be one way to invert the control so we don't need to invent a new tool.
Yeah, it's like, we'll give you one little abstraction that lets you do a mapping here and then everything else is still in your guys's hands. Yeah, that makes sense. Keep it.
But I think that we could go there, for example, and that could make a lot of people happy that they could remove that hack.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. Let's see. We've covered a lot. We've touched on Vit 6. Is there anything in particular that you guys are looking for help on as we wrap up here, either with Vit 6 or just at large? You mentioned roll down for Rust people already, but for other devs, is there anything that you guys...
Yeah, I like with everything, there is always so much to do in any of these kind of big open source projects. Again, if you enjoy build tooling, if you are more in the side of JS, like join the Vit Discord or go in the issues. And the best way there is to help us triaging or help other people so you learn more about the tool. Don't try to go and do a PR. Just try to help us triaging. That it means like checking the reproduction, seeing if it is really an issue or maybe a config problem.
Yeah.
Like maintainers will love if you say, hey, I check it and this is just a config problem. And then you save the maintainer like an hour.
Yeah.
That is a very good way to help learn more about the project, get into more contact with the code. And later on, it's very natural that you get opportunities to contribute more. So yeah, we always need help. There is 400 open issues. And that is like the baseline state of Vit. Like there is always 400 open issues, no matter how many we close. There is always 400 open issues.
There's some asymptote that approaches 400. That's always,
yeah. That is like the normal state of the project.
Yeah.
So there is always a lot to do. And if you like more on the Rust side, like the both Rolldown and OXC are very young projects. And that is also extremely interesting because that initial time is the same as the initial time of Vit or the initial time of Vitest. Yeah. That first 6 months of a project, they are so interesting because it is not only about the code, it's about also all the relationships that are forming, all the incipient like tooling built on top of the project and the ecosystem appearing. Like, yeah, I really suggest even just go and hang out in the Discord because there will be like so interesting things to learn and opportunities to help.
Nice. I feel like we've covered a lot in an hour here. Is there anything else you want to shout out or implore people to check out?
Shout out to all the ecosystem. Again, like Vit is where it is because of all the maintainers and all the Vit team members. Shout out to everybody involved because this kind of project is built with like a ton of work of different kind of people.
Thank you for going through all this with me once again. It's always a pleasure talking to people who are like passionate about projects and open source and building dev tooling. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for the invite and always a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we get together again, maybe for a Vit 8.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds good.